Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Tuesday, April 29th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a glorious Monday. It was insanely nice outside. I was in Washington, as we will talk about in a second, but one of the more beautiful days of the year so far. So I hope you were able to enjoy it, get out of the house a little bit, have some fun. Me, I was in Washington, D.C. to cover the Eagles at the White House to celebrate their Super Bowl victory. So right off the jump, I'll just say this. If you don't want to hear about the Eagles' trip to the White House, I completely understand it. If you don't want to hear about the president, I completely understand that, right? But on Monday, the Eagles did go to Washington to celebrate their Super Bowl victory at the White House. And as we do on this pod, that was poor phrasing. As we do on this pod, we will talk about what the Eagles did on Monday. And I was there, so hopefully, you know, if you're not in the mood to hear about politics, hopefully this can be basically just Eagles related. So first, got to Washington. I'll kind of like set the scene for you guys. So got to Washington, and like I said, beautiful day outside. Like Washington, D.C., very beautiful city. Like walking around, seeing all the stuff. It's a very nice city. I've been there a few times, but I feel like on Monday really kind of hit how nice it is. But regardless, get to outside of the White House, go through security, which was not easy, by the way. Like very complicated. A lot of different people have problems getting in, but got in, got to the White House, stepped onto the ground, and as soon as you walk in, at least where I went in, there's like this long path that kind of takes you to the White House briefing room. And on that path, on the way there to the right, you could see all the different like tents for, you know, whatever news outlet you watch. All those different tents were set up for those people, political TV reporters to do their sets. So it was pretty cool. Got to see a lot of the political reporters, that I watch on TV, which was cool. The grass there, like immaculately kept, I got to say. Very, very, everything's very clean and nice there. Like, and also with the sun, I feel like all the colors were like extremely vibrant. So like the green and the grass was very vibrant. Like it was a really beautiful day in Washington. So anyway, get to the White House brief pressing room, which was cool. Cool to see that. And so at around 3:45 or so, they ushered all the media over to right outside where the event was going to take place. And there was a lot of media there for sure. A lot of media, like only a few, I would say, of your favorite, whoever you want to choose as your favorite, like Eagles beat writer. But a lot of media there. They open the door. We walk in, walk through the White House, out back to the South Lawn. And there it was set up. So one thing that I noticed there must be a lot of Eagles fans that work in the White House. Now, obviously, some Eagles fans were invited to the event, but there were a lot of Eagles fans there. And I talked to one person afterwards. Shout out to the real one I got to talk to afterwards at Works of Washington, and was saying there's a ton of Eagles fans in Washington. Tough look for the Commanders, but yes, a ton of Eagles fans in Washington. So we walk out back in the back of the White House. Behind us was the Washington Monument. And when I first got there, the stage was like pretty small, which I think was an indication, which we'll talk about in a second, of how few players actually went to the event. But get out there, lots of Eagles fans. Before anybody came out, they played the Rocky theme. They played the Eagles fight song. Somebody yelled, "Dallas sucks." Vince Papale was there. So it had definitely had like an Eagles charm to it. It wasn't like just, you know, some random team was there. Like you could really kind of, there were all the little Eagles bits were going on. So anyway, they play the Rocky theme. They play the Eagles fight song. And then they kind of announce, all right, here comes your Super Bowl 59 champions. And the Eagles players walked out. So the back of the White House, I'm sure you could look up a picture, but it's essentially the back of the Oval Office. And on either side, there's like a staircase, and they walk down either side of this, both sides of the staircase. Players, coaches walk down. Vic Fangio was there. Kevin Petullo was there. I would say almost every coach on the coaching staff was there. I think there were probably a few that were missing, but I don't think it's a stretch to say almost 40% of the people on the stage were coaches, if not like coaches, like GMs. Howie Roseman was there. Jeffrey was obviously there. So a lot of the contingency of people that were on stage were not players. Now, in terms of the players, so everyone walks down, they set all up, and then after that, they introduce the president. He walks from the left, not down the staircase, but he walks from the left up with Lane Johnson and Nick Sirianni, who walked with him from wherever he was to the left out onto the stage. And at that point, they had the two Lombardis out there. They had an Eagles helmet that it looks like all the players signed. And they had a jersey customized for the president. So anyway, once that, like all the introduction was over, Trump talked. And Trump basically, like, I would say it was like a pretty tame speech. Like, he didn't really say a ton of, like, I was worried he would get up there and say something like crazy. He didn't really say a ton of that. Like, I don't know. I didn't think it was like a great speech by him, but regardless, he talked about the tush push. He said that he thinks the NFL should keep the tush push. He asked Sirianni about it and joked about it with Sirianni. He turned to Saquon and was like, I think they should keep it. And Saquon, agreed. Saquon certainly had an interesting 24 hours for Saquon online. But yeah, so talked about that. He brought Big Dom up on the stage, and you know, he said that he hung out with Big Dom last night. He called Big Dom a big Trump person. He said he gave Big Dom a hat. At one point, he talked about Saquon, and he said, and this is pretty on brand, but on one point, he said that he told the Giants not to get rid of Saquon. It since has come out from New York reporters that he never talked to the Giants about anything with Saquon. So I don't know what happened there, but as you know, Saquon spent time with him prior. And so Saquon was front and center there. Lane Johnson came up and said a few words. Reed Blankenship talked. The whole thing in total was probably 15 minutes. Wasn't super long. It was very hot outside, like I said. But in terms of the players that did go, and shout out to Zach Berman of PHLY, me and him worked on this list. I would say he did the bulk of the work here, but we kind of went over it since we were only really two of the four kind of reporters there. But who was there? Get ready for a lot of practice squad names. Lewis Cine, Ochu and Mathis, who, to be completely honest, I'm not even sure who that is. Brett Toth, Sidney Brown, Tyler Steen, Nick Muse, Britton Covey, Rick Lovato, Ben Van Sumeren, Braden Mann, Eli Ricks, Mekhi Becton flew in for it, Saquon Barkley, CJ Uzomah, Dallas Goedert, Cooper DeJean, Reed Blankenship, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata, Jake Elliott, Grant Calcaterra, Moro Ojomo, Nick Gates, Jack Driscoll, Will Shipley, Darian Kennard, Tanner McKee, Trevor Keegan, Ian Book, LaRaven Clark, and Lakin Vakalehi. So in all, 32 players were there. Now, it's not really 32 of 53 because a lot of those names I just read were practice squad guys. So really 32 of 69 players showed up if you include the 16-man practice squad. And as Zach pointed out, it's actually like 79 players if you include everybody that was like on and off the roster, like LaRaven Clark. So in theory, 32 of 79 players showed up. That's like roughly a third. So, you know, it's more than a third, but it's like roughly a third of the players showed up. And if you look at the starters, only 9 of 22 starters showed up. Notably not there, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Darius Slay wasn't there, Zach Bond wasn't there, Brandon Graham, very noteworthy, was not there. So a lot of players did not show up. You know, and obviously that's their decision. They'll be able to talk about it. And here's what I would say to kind of like put a bow on this thing. I think leading up to the White House, there was a lot of will they go, won't they go? Who will go, won't go, and who won't go? Like, and as with everything in politics, lots of opinions on both sides. Because, you know, obviously, look, the Go Birds community, I'm very, very lucky to call a large community, right? And I'm sure we have listeners all over the spectrum politically. And here's what I would say to wrap it up. I think that Monday, in some ways, was a win for everybody. If you didn't want the team to go, understandably, the attendance was very low. And a lot of the big name players did not go. The stage was mostly filled with practice squad players, coaches, the offensive line, and Saquon. Like, that was it. It was not like a tour de force from the team of everybody showing up. So if you didn't want the team to go, I think you can sit there and feel like the team certainly did not like go full throttle. If you wanted the team to go, like if you wanted the team to go to the White House, they went. They didn't go in 2017. Jeffrey Lurie was there. Howie Roseman was there. Nick Sirianni was there. Saquon was there. The offensive line was there. Like, they were there. They gave the president a jersey with his name on it. Like, it was, they were there. And overall, if you hate politics, you don't want to hear about it, you don't want to talk about it, at the very least, it was a reminder that the Eagles did indeed win the Super Bowl in dominating fashion. So now that we have this event out of our lives and out of the way, there's just one more event for the Super Bowl team. That will be the ring ceremony, which I guess probably won't be too far away. They haven't released what the rings look like. Very excited to see what they look like. And especially now that the White House visit is over, we can all move on. So that was the unfortunate political part of the podcast. But on the other side, we are going to talk about a few odds and ends from the rest of the football world on Monday. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So it was funny. At one point, I'm in the White House. I'm like standing outside the press briefing room, and I'm like yelling with Spike and Ike about where Jihad Campbell will play, edge rusher or offensive line. So some things never change. But the reason I bring up Jihad Campbell is because there was a report on Monday from Albert Breer, longtime NFL reporter, talking about some potential health concerns with Campbell. So here's what Breer wrote. Quote, "I'd say Howie Roseman's first round pick this year, Alabama linebacker Jihad Campbell, is a little like 2 years ago with Jalen Carter. In both cases, there was a reason why the guy was available. With Carter, it was a checkered off-field history that Philly felt well qualified to manage. With Campbell, it's his shoulders and knees, yes, plural on both counts. And again, this is one where the Eagles are more equipped to take on the risks than others because they don't need the pick to hit," end quote. So that's interesting because there was talks about his one shoulder, not really much about his knees. And Albert Breer is saying he has injury concerns in both shoulders and both knees. Now, Howie Roseman did talk about after the draft and said obviously they felt comfortable enough with where he was at to draft him. Every indication I've gotten since they selected him, and this is not like just from the Eagles, is that they feel fine. Like, there is a lot of confidence that Campbell is going to play. But I guess this is certainly something to monitor and certainly something to keep an eye out for, because there are OTAs, then there will be training camp, and training camp's really important for a rookie. It's important for all players, really. If you look at like the offense and defensive linemen, if they miss training camp, like that really sets their season back. Now, Campbell is not like a defensive tackle or an offensive lineman or anything like that, but he's a rookie. And we saw with Cooper, he missed training camp and he really didn't contribute to the season until what? Like week six, week five? No. Would it have been week seven? Yeah, like week seven. So it definitely takes some time if you miss training camp. And that's especially true with Vic Fangio. I also disagree with what Albert Breer has to say, that they don't need the pick. You always need to hit on your first round pick. Like, you can never just throw a first round pick out. No roster is talented enough that they don't need elite players on cheap deals. If the Eagles are going to be good from here on out, they're going to need to hit on their draft picks. And that starts with Jahad Campbell. So the other thing that I thought was noteworthy, and shout out to Bleeding Green Nation, our good buddy BLG, for highlighting this. Speaking of like what these picks could do for the team, BLG and BGN like highlighted a passage from ESPN, an article written by Matt Miller and Jordan Reed, and it reads, quote, "Worth." So they had to make one prediction about the class for 5 years from now. Quote, "We'll look back on this draft as the spark that continued the Eagles' NFC dominance. The Eagles doubled down on defense, and given the team's track record of hitting on starters while also developing later round picks, it's exciting to think about what guys such as linebacker Jahad Campbell, safety Andrew Mukuba, and defensive tackle Ty Robinson can become. Which teams produced your favorite class? That would be the Philadelphia Eagles. Quote, they played the board beautifully once again in drafting highly productive players at positions in need. And 1 year after winning a Super Bowl with the dominant defense, they selected five defenders to start their draft. Kyle McCord is a fun add as a developmental cornerback in round six, too. End quote. So you look right there, they call it the spark that continued the NFC's dominance. Now, that's not going to happen if Jahad Campbell doesn't hit. Of course, they could keep dominating. Anything's possible. But you look how much Quinion and Cooper changed things for this team. They need Mukuba to hit. Otherwise, they need Sidney Brown to be awesome. And even if he is, you still need Mukuba to hit, because they need their second round picks to be good. They need Jahad Campbell to hit. They need one of these late round picks to turn into a contributing player. That's how you sustain success. It's reshuffling the bottom of the roster. It's finding new productive starters. And the best place to do that is in the draft. So later in the week, or rest of the week, I should say, we're going to really dive into the draft picks, learn more about each player that they drafted, and then get into the undrafted class as well. So thank you guys so much for listening. I know like it's not super fun to talk or think about politics, but the White House visit was something this team did, and now it's in the rearview mirror. So thank you for listening. And as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.